There were several things that I liked so much to speak about, and of course I was thankful that I could speak three times, but four times is very much more than three times. And I invite you to pray that really the Holy Spirit will take over this hour and that he will speak to us. Some of the things I had forgotten is that I write every 2 months a paper to my friends. And that is a paper that's called Harvest Time. If you like to have it, then give your name and address to whom? Can you tell me? There was a lady who said perhaps someone could type it for me. Is there anyone who would? What? Oh, fine. And give your name and address to her. And then I do not ask money for that paper, but sometimes I hope you will pray for me. I send that paper to about 30,000 of my friends around the world. So often I can speak only once, or perhaps 2 weeks for the same people. And then I like to send this paper. There's a little corner for soul winners, a little corner for babes in Christ. Then a letter to my friends who are in prisons. I work much in prisons because I know how it feels behind a door that you can only from outside. And then a letter of my plans and all what I have experienced and learned these past 2 months. I also tell about a project that we started in Uganda. I'm sure you will be interested. After the war, I opened a house in Holland and for ex-prisoners, but it was too small. It is now too small. It is an international guest home. Whenever you come in Holland, I hope you will be my guest there. In my book, Not Good If Detached, you can even find a photo of that house. In Germany, I rented a former concentration camp, and I helped there the German refugees. It was a vision of Betsy, my sister, who said, these barracks are now used to destroy lives. After the war, there will be no use for concentration camps, and we must ask God to give us such a camp, and we will use it to build up lives. God gave me a camp in Germany, in Darmstadt. And not only that, I helped there all these years, till 2 years ago, the refugees, but the Germans appreciated so much that I, a victim of a concentration camp, used one of their camps to help them with the refugee problem, that there is no country where I can work like in Germany. Many open hearts and open doors. But 2 years ago, that camp fell down. And the church people there who worked with me said, now we will take it over, we will build a concrete house, but we don't need your help any longer. So now I had my hands free and had not to finance that camp. And so I prayed, God give an international, interracial, interdenominational center. Once I prayed with a young man about it. He was going to be a missionary. He was a student in a Bible school, a Bible college in London. And I prayed, Lord, will you give that in Holland or in Switzerland or in Israel or in Australia or in India or in Africa? And that boy said, Lord, you have heard her prayer. I pray that you will give it in Holland en in Zwitserland en in Australië en in Afrika en de whole East. I said, boy, listen, was that an inspired prayer? I think one is enough at this moment. But he said, no, in this time, a center where the races can find each other at the foot of the cross is 100% important. Now, I think you have all heard of the continuous revival, where God has used Joe Church, Westhoek Eventuary, and William Naganda to have a revival in Africa and in many other countries already more than 30 years. And these people had the same idea as I, the same vision. And now we work together. And between Kampala and Entebbe in Uganda, the Lord gave us Lweza, a house where I hope to see many of you. We hope to have their international conferences. But about this project, you can also read in my paper. So be sure that you give your name and address for this paper, and you will hear about it. If there are any missionaries that you think that should like to have my paper Harvest Time, give me their names and addresses. Now, one of the things I had no time enough this last days was to speak about all the rags in the fleshlight. And some were self-pity, worry, and one criticism. And I will just tell a little bit about criticism, because I find that many Christians criticize each other. And in Romans 14, in the translation of Phillips, I read, "Welcome a man whose faith is weak, but not with the idea of arguing over his scruples. After all, who are you to criticize the servant of somebody else?" Verse 4. Especially when that somebody else is God. It is to his own master that he gives or fails to give satisfactory service. And don't doubt that satisfaction, for God is well able to transform men into servants who are satisfactory. Don't you like that? Isn't that good? Don't criticize somebody else's servant, especially when that somebody else is God. How much criticism there is between Christians. 10. Why then criticize your brother's actions? Why try to make him look small? We shall all be judged one day, not by each other's standards or even our own, but by the standard of Christ. 13. Let us therefore stop turning critical eyes on one another. If we must be critical, let us be critical of our own conduct and see that we do nothing to make a brother stumble or fall. So, 19, let us concentrate on the things which make for harmony. We who have strong faith ought to shoulder the burden of the doubts and qualms of others, and not just to go our own sweet way. I have talked rather much about sins these days. And perhaps some of the things, for instance, discouragement is a sin. It is possible that it frustrates you. But I myself know, think it is liberating to know that something is a sin. For instance, I couldn't find time to pray. I tried hard, and in the morning I had to travel, and in the evening I was too tired, till I saw that prayerlessness was a sin for a child of God. And I just shouted, hallelujah, what do I do with a sin? I don't try to fight it. The devil is too strong for me. But I said, Father, 1 John 1, 7 and 9, I confess my prayerlessness. I thank you that you are faithful and just to forgive me, and that your blood will cleanse me. And the same day, I had time to pray. I didn't find it. He did it. I find that many Christians do not realize that you and I have the answer for our sin problem, because Jesus not only died for us, far more, he lives for us. And I like that little poem, the rhyme of John Bunyan. Run, John, run, the law commands, but gives us neither feet nor hands. Far better news the gospel brings. It bids us fly, but gives us wings. Isn't that good? We all know to try. I have tried and I have struggled for my sins to be set free. But my trying and my struggling never gave me victory. Constant effort, constant failing. Standing, but to fall again. Often doubting if I ever could with Jesus in heaven reign. Then I ceased my vain endeavor and to Jesus yielded all. Then he came, the overcomer, conquering foes both great and small. Now by faith I live in Jesus, and by faith he lives in me. Not by trying, but through trusting, Jesus gives me victory. We must understand that when we have confessed, repented from a sin, that sin is dead. Give it a burial, and you don't go to the graveyard to look at a dead body. A little child broke a beautiful antique cup of her mother. And she brought it to pieces to her mother, and she said, Mother, I broke this beautiful cup. And the mother said, I see that you are sorry, I forgive you. Put the pieces in the garbage can. And she did. But the next day, the stupid little girl saw in the garbage can these pieces. And she took them and brought them again to her mother, said, Mother, yesterday I broke your cup. The mother said, leave that in the garbage can. Just think of my forgiveness. Did you ever pray for the second time forgiveness for the same sin? That doesn't honor God. Last week I was very unkind to a lady. You know, some people, that just clicks, eh? I like them from the very moment. Some people I do not like. And I was unkind and impatient. Now, I could say I was tired and I had such a busy day, but I know that the blood of Jesus never cleanses an excuse. So in the evening I prayed, Lord, forgive me that unkindness to Mrs. So-and-so. Next day, in my quiet time, I remembered it again. And I said then, Lord, yesterday when I met Mrs. So-and-so, I was so unkind. Will you please Oh, thank you, Lord, that you forgave me last night. I'd almost prayed for a second time. That is not the meaning of God. When he says, I'm faithful and just to forgive you, then God means this. God watches over his word to perform it. I like America, and I like your coffee. I can tell you I had last week a very good hostess. When I was tired, always she knew the moment that I needed a cup of coffee, and she didn't ask me, but she put it in front of me. Now just imagine that after she had put it in front of me, that I had said, oh please, will you give me a cup of coffee? I should have been ashamed. When she puts it in front of me, I dishonor her when I ask for it. I honor her when I drink it and say, boy, what a good coffee, almost as good as a Dutch cup of coffee. My friends, when God says, I am faithful and just to forgive you, then he means business. It is high time that Christians learn to mean business with the promises of God. Oh, what a joy. There is forgiveness and cleansing. And don't forget that when Jesus cast your sins into the depths of the sea, that he put the sign, no fishing allowed. One of the rags in my fleshlight were witchcraft sins. It was in Germany that I often found people who were in great darkness. They talked about committing suicide. Now, when people think or talk about suicide, that is always influence of demons. What had happened in Germany was that after war, many people did not know where their husband, their father, their brother, their fiancé were. Perhaps they were dead, but there was also a chance that they were somewhere in a Russian concentration camp. And this not knowing where they are is terrible. My nephew was killed in 1944 in a concentration camp, but we knew it only in 1951. And these years were more difficult than the moment that we knew that he had died. And now the Germans wanted to know, and they went to fortune tellers. I don't know if they heard anything that they didn't know, but did I experience that these people came to me in the inquiry room and they told, I cannot pray. The moment that I try to pray or read the Bible, I cannot concentrate my thoughts. Some said, I wanted to receive the Lord Jesus as my Savior, but always if the moments come that I will receive him, there's something that comes in between. And then I always prayed for the discernment of the spirits. And I asked them, when did you go to a spiritualist meeting? Or when did you go to a fortune teller? When did you read the horoscope? Or showed your hand to one who would tell you the future? And it was always the same answer. Oh, I did that long time ago or half a year ago, but I did it just for fun. And I said, and that is the reason that you cannot pray or cannot be saved. You know, when you do this sin, you come in the territory of the enemy. When you are in Germany, in West Germany, there are places where there is a park or a wood, and till here it is West Germany, and there it is East Germany. Now they are very strict and have a wall, but in that is only the last years. Now just imagine that you were playing there, and that you came in that East Germany, and the police picked you up and said, you have no papers for East Germany. Doesn't help you that you say, I did it just for fun, or we were playing a game. When you are in the territory of the enemy, you are in their power. And whenever you do a witchcraft sin, also when it is for fun, you are in the power of the devil. Now, the people did not believe it first, but then I read for them Deuteronomy 18, 10 till 13. For it is always useful to let the word of God speak. I cannot persuade, but the word of God is a two-edged sword. And I read for them, there shall not be found among you anyone who uses divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard or a necromancer. For all that do thee things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God does drive them out before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. Why is it an abomination in the eyes of God? Because instead of asking God for help, you have asked the devil for help. Now, this persuades the people. And after they saw that, then I could show them 1 John 1:7-9, when we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all the sins we confess. And then when they had, after they had confessed it, then I saw that they were liberated. Now you and I, we stand in the front line of a terrific battle between the powers of darkness and light. And there has never been such a terrific mobilization of demons as in this time. Once Billy Graham asked me in Japan, what do you think of the Japanese missionaries, the missionaries in Japan? And I said to him, these people have given all, their home, their money, their family, their friends, their homeland, their everything, but many have not taken all. And there was one thing that I saw there was that many missionaries in Japan did not know that demons existed. And they stood in the front line and they did not know their enemy, and they did not know our tremendous weapons that we have. The power of the blood of Jesus and the authority of his name. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, and we have the authority of the name of Jesus. Now I must tell you that I have never seen so many nervous breakdowns as among the new missionaries in Japan, who after their first term had to go back to their homeland frustrated, defeated. And it was just because they did not know that there were demons. And they did not know about our victory over demons. The Bible tells it very clearly. And I have written a little booklet, Defeated Enemies, and I tell there about my experiences. We have nothing to fear for demons. We stand at the victorious side. Those who are with us are far more and far stronger than those who are against us. At our side is a mighty high priest and legions of angels. We have the authority of the name of Jesus, and like a traffic officer has the authority of the law behind him, and therefore you must obey him, otherwise you'll get a ticket. So you and I have the authority of the name of Jesus, and when the devil does not obey us, you give him a ticket. He is a defeated enemy. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. But there is a book of Mrs. Penn Lewis, War of the Saints. And there she shows that the Christians are in the greatest danger for the influence of demons. And when you read that book, then you come under darkness. She has never meant it to be published. You can read it, but first claim the protection of the blood of Jesus. For although it is a positive book, it can bring you under darkness. There are more books about demons that bring everything back to demon possession. And in my little booklet, I speak about I write about the difference between demon possession and demon obsession. Far too quick people speak about, oh, that person is demon possessed. When a mother-in-law is difficult, they say, my mother-in-law is demon possessed. Don't say that. That's a very dangerous thing. You may not say that. A demon-possessed person, everyone knows. He sees it. It is terrible to see it. But many people are demon-obsessed. And you and I need the discernment of the Spirit. And the answer is the same, Jesus. And so we must be sure that we do not talk too much about it. When Dr. Dory Johnson came for the first time in Holland to start the Youth for Christ work, they wrote terrible articles against him. So mean, so dirty. We were shocked. But do you know, when he at last came in Holland, that there were no halls big enough to contain the huge masses of people to hear that crazy man. They would all see and hear what that terrible Dr. Tory Johnson had to tell. And now still in Holland are in the Youth for Christ work the young people that were saved in these meetings. And if I should like, when I came the next time to you, to have very full houses and big halls, then the best thing you could do for me was write against me in the newspapers. You know, when you talk too much about demons, you make advertisement for him. Don't talk too much about it. I am so glad that I can write, that I could write in this booklet about our victory over demons. We must first see the enemy. Then we must have a good logistics. Our weapons, the time, everything must be under control of the Holy Spirit. And the great joy is when the gospel says, he bids you fly and gives us wings, that when we confess our sins, the Lord fills us with the Holy Spirit, and the fruit of the Spirit is love and peace and kindness and goodness and self-control. Now, there is not always victory. In this booklet, I tell that once in South Africa, I got a call from a lady who said, will you come here and help to cast out a demon? There's a girl so demon possessed, we don't know what to do. I didn't like it. If you ask me to lay hands on a sick, then I enjoy it. I do it with great joy. But if you ask me to cast out a demon, I look around and see if there is not someone else who will do it. I'm not afraid for demons, but it is perhaps because it is something very sad to see a human person under the influence of the power of darkness. But I can never refuse it. If you and I do not cast out demons, who in the world must do it? The communists? They can't do it. We are the only people in the world who can cast out demons. So I said, yes, I come. And I called my friend and I said, say, can you come with your car and bring me to this address? There's a girl demon possessed. She said, Corrie, you know that I am always available for you with my car. But today I cannot come. For the whole day I must bake pies and cakes for the church meeting tomorrow. I was angry. And I put down the receiver of the telephone, and in that room where the telephone was were three pastors. And I said to these ministers, there are too many demons and too many pies in your churches. What did I mean? What do you do with a demon-obsessed person or possessed? You send him to a psychiatrist, don't you? And he can give them shocks. And a demon is not at all afraid for a shock. In my book is still Mark 16, in my name, says Jesus, they will cast out demons. And there are too many pies. I have nothing against the good pies of the church meetings in these churches in South Africa and in New Zealand. Every member of the group brings her specialty. I can tell you they are good, these cakes and pies, but after some weeks in such a country, I must go on a diet because there is too much Corrie ten Boom. But I have nothing against it. The thing is only when there is such a terrific battle, not against flesh and blood, but against the very representatives of the headquarters of evil. We must not use our time for things who are second best. Just imagine that this building is in flames. And I am here. And I go to that room here where these pictures hang, and I straighten these pictures. What is that? That is very wrong. I must go to the telephone and call the fireman. And now just imagine that the fireman comes. And they are standing here in a corner, and one gives a beautiful talk about the best method of extinguishing flames. What is that? That's a crime. He must put out the flames. My friends, in this time, the world is on flames. And now we must be sure that we do not take our time with the second best. Everyone must win souls, as many as is possible, but I know you all have this burden already. You know, in the concentration camp, I was sitting around the Word of God, and with other prisoners. I didn't know anything of these prisoners. And I didn't ask, say, what church do you belong? What do you think about predestination? What is your idea about the millennium? What do you think is the biblical way of baptism? No, I didn't speak about that. What did I speak about it about was, say, do you know that Jesus died for the sins of the whole world? Also for your sins. And when she said, yes, I know that, then I asked her, did you give him your heart? When she said, yes, I did, then I asked, did you repent of your sins? And when she said, I did, but sometimes I'm so worried about my sins, then I told him, God is faithful and just to forgive you, and the blood of Jesus cleanses you from all the sins. You know, I spoke about the most elementary truth, and when I saw that girl disappear into the gas chamber, I was so happy that I knew that she was saved. My friends, let us redeem the time. The days are evil. To quarrel about doctrines in this time can be very wrong. But are doctrines not important? Yes. But also the best method of extinguishing flames is very important. But there is a time that we must do nothing else than bring the simple gospel. Now I can tell you, one of the three ministers in that room brought me to the demon-possessed girl. He said later, I could not forget what you said. There are too many demons and cakes in our churches. But do you know, when I came to that girl, there was absolute defeat. The demons accused me and they said, you are possessed by the idiotic idea that Jesus is Victor. And I stood there powerless. I didn't know what it was. Oh, that is such a sad experience, when you see that the demons do not leave. But later in my room, I said, Lord, what was wrong? And the Lord showed me, in my heart was pride. In my heart was the attitude of holier than thou, a smoke in God's nose, Isaiah says. I thought I have said that very witty and very strong to these three ministers. I am a little bit better than they. Oh, what a terrible thing. That was spiritual pride. And don't think that when there is spiritual pride in your heart that you can stand in the battle against demons. So whenever you have to do it, first ask the Lord to search your heart. And be sure that there is not a kind of foothold in your own soul. Paul says, don't go to bed angry. Don't give the devil that kind of foothold. Then there's one thing, and that is very important, and that is prayer. I never go alone, if it is possible, to someone where a demon must be cast out. One must be in prayer and the other must cast out the demon. And then there is something you can read in this booklet, that we must be sure that we not only cast out the demon, but tell them where to go. In the beginning I told him to go to hell. But the missionary said to me, no, we may not do that. Even in the book of Jude, Michael does not rebuke Satan. He says, God rebuke you, Satan. And since that missionary said that, I always say to the demons, go to the place that God tells you to go. But I must always, and you must do that, forbid them to come back into the same person or to go in someone else. And you have the power through the authority of the name of Jesus to do that. I was in a students group in Germany, the SMD, that is the InterVarsity Christian Fellowship in Germany. And there were 10 students, Christians, who had invited 10 non-Christians. We had a weekend conference. In the evening I spoke, and every student, Christian, took a non-Christian and made a walk with him. And they said, Corrie, not one has accepted your message, but we will pray. We will pray this night, and tomorrow we will pray the whole day and stand behind you. And the next day in the evening, 8 of the students had accepted the Lord Jesus. I was very happy. But when I went to my room, Trudy, medical student, followed me. And she said, Corrie, I come to thank you for what you did for my Otto. He was so dark. He's my fiancé. He's also he's studying for doctor. And I said, I'm very glad that the Lord has used me for that. But what about you? She said, I don't come to speak about myself. I will speak about Otto. So I talked about Otto. But then suddenly, in the midst of the talk, I turned to her, or better, to the demons in her. And I said, demons, in the name of Jesus, I command you to go to the place where God tells you to go. this girl is not your own. She belongs to Jesus. He has bought her with his blood. And that girl suddenly said, he said, and hope for me, I'm free. I'm free. I stood trembling on my feet. I didn't know anything about her. I didn't know that she was demon possessed or obsessed. But after she had gone, I went downstairs. I thought I must talk with someone and pray for her. But when I came in the hall where we had had the meetings, I found all the Christian students on their knees. I said, I come to tell you that Trudy is free, is liberated. They said, we know. I said, what do you know? They said, we knew that she was demon possessed. And when we saw her going to you, we all went in prayer. And we prayed, God, use Corrie ten Boom to cast out the demons. And when we were in prayer, suddenly our prayer went over in praise. We knew she was free. Now I understood. Because of these students in prayer downstairs, I didn't know anything. I didn't even know that she was oppressed by demons. I didn't know that I was to do it, but the Lord told me, oh, my friends, be faithful in your prayers for the missionaries. And don't forget that we stand at the victorious side. Trudy told me the next day that she was intending to commit suicide the next day. But hallelujah, Jesus was victor. And now in Ephesians 6:10 we read, in conclusion, be strong, not in yourself, but in the Lord, in the power of his boundless resource. Put on God's complete armor so that you can successfully resist all the devil's methods of attack. For our fight is not against any physical enemy. It is against organizations and powers that are spiritual. We are up against the unseen power that controls this dark world and spiritual agents from the very headquarters of evil. Therefore, you must wear the whole armor of God, that you may be able to resist evil in its day of power, and that even when you have fought to a standstill, you may still stand your ground. Some people think that a Christian is not in danger for the enemy, but we are. But we stand on victory ground because of the armor. Take your stand then with truth at your belt. Who is our truth? Jesus. The righteousness, your breastplate. Who's our righteousness? Jesus. The gospel of peace firmly on our feet. Jesus is our peace. Salvation as your helmet. Jesus is our salvation. And in your hand the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. Above all, be sure you take faith as your shield, for it can quench every burning missile the enemy hurls at you. Pray at all times with every kind of spiritual prayer, keeping alert and persistent as you pray for all Christ's men and women. The armor of God is Jesus himself. He in you. You and me in him. We are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. Now I have told you a little bit about demons, and I will just finish with a word about angels. And I enjoy that. For there are far more angels than demons. And when I entered into the concentration camp, I had a little Bible hidden under my dress. We had all to stand on a line, and everyone was searched. I was very tired, afraid. And I thought, oh no, they will find my Bible and the other things I have hidden. And I prayed, oh God, send now your angels and let they surround me. But then I thought, yes, but angels, after all, are spirits. And you can look through a spirit and these people may not see me. So I said, God, make your angels untransparent today. You can pray very unorthodox when you are in great need, but God did it. The woman who stood in front of me was searched, and then my sister who stood behind me. And they did not see me. Then there was joy in my heart. And I can tell you, I said, God, if you are such a hearer of prayers, I can even stand a concentration camp. This happens twice, that I prayed for the angels and that so the people did not see me. And that is biblical. The Bible says angels are ministering spirits sent to this planet for your and my help. And I like to pray with an open Bible and say, Father, you have said it, now you must do it. And God likes it, and we pray with boldness, for he has meant business with his promises. I told this story in Cape Town, and there was an agnostic in the church, and he thought, oh, dear me, that lady tells such impossible stories that you can read on Christian calendars. I wish that I could run away, but he couldn't because the church was packed and he was sitting just opposite the door. Suddenly that man saw an angel standing behind me. He closed his eyes, looked up. The angel was still there. 12 minutes that man saw a tall angel standing behind me who had his hand over my head. Why did I need an angel that moment? They had shown a film, just a short movie, Germany after the war. You saw people coming from a concentration camp. And the tendency was that we needed the United Nations to bring peace on earth. Now, when I saw these people coming from a concentration camp, it was not terrible, but I saw 1,000 times more than that movie showed. And it made me so depressed that when I would speak, I couldn't utter a word. I whispered to the minister, sing. When they were singing, I said, oh Lord, take away from me that depression. I cannot give a strong message when I'm thinking of all these horrible things. I did not know that the Lord sent an angel to keep away the spirit of depression from me. But I don't need to see an angel. I have the Bible, and I know that God watches over his word to perform it. But that poor agnostic had no faith. And that's why God showed him for once something of the foolishness of God with the sense, his senses, the wisdom of the wise. And so he saw an angel. And I can tell you, he is no agnostic anymore. My friends, I'm glad that I could tell you something about this. Are there questions? I will be happy to answer it. Just come to the hall where I have my room or ask it now. But if you can, read this little booklet, Defeated Enemies. It is no theory, no demonology. They are just things that I've experienced when I was on the front line of the battle. And I hope you will have understood that Jesus is always victorious. You have only to keep a right relationship with him. And his victorious life will find you and stream through you and touch other people. Hallelujah. Jesus was victor. Jesus is victor. And Jesus will be victor. And very soon, every knee will bow for him. And it is true. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Jesus says, I have overcome the world. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that I could have this talk with your people who are in training to be your special messengers. Oh, Lord, keep them within your constant care. And we thank you that we have the protection and the power of your blood, Lord Jesus, and that you have given us the wonderful gift of the authority of your name, Jesus. Now, Lord, bless us and make us a blessing. Make us real children of the light in this very dark world. And I thank you, Lord, that you make us more than conquerors, that we have not to make or to build or to show the armor of God, but we have just to surrender. You in us, we in you, Lord Jesus. What a joy. Lord, when I speak tomorrow morning about the joy and the urgency of the total surrender, will you give me the message? Thank you, Lord. Amen.